How y'all doing today?
Awesome. I'll read in Acts 19, 2 through 3. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "On the contrary, we have not even heard of this, even heard if there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism."
Good morning. The last one there was kind of moping off. That was my grandchild. Takes after her grandmother. Just letting you know where that came from. Yeah. It's good to have you with us today. We have several visitors in the crowd, and I'm glad of that. Always glad to see visitors. Make sure that they do not get out without you tackling them and getting to know them a little bit before they get out the door. You've already been tackled one time too many, I think. Yeah. Got a little right arm and a little sling and a little cast. But guys, we really appreciate everybody being here today. We really, truly do. This lesson that I have for you today, and we're going to go ahead and get right in it. This lesson that I have for you today is actually one in which has been a request. Now, this is understandable, completely and totally understandable about this request. We have been blessed as a congregation. Over, I believe, the last 3 weeks, we've had, I think, if my number is right, we've had 7 baptisms. Yes, isn't that wonderful? We have truly been blessed. And so I've been having some people come up and ask me, do I need to be rebaptized? Because something in their life, along the way, whatever it may be, something in their life along the way has gotten in the way of following God. And so they're asking a lot of times, because I have sinned, because I have fallen short, do I need to be rebaptized? And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about that. Because folks, all of us sin. All of us fall short. So realize that no matter what age you are, no matter what situation you're in, there will be times when you will fall short. When you will fall short. The weather outside is very nice. But yesterday it was real windy over here in Oklahoma. And blew my sign down. I had to put it back up. Blew it down again. Had to put it back up. Okay? Not only that, but we had some things on the front porch that are no longer on the front porch. They have been broken into pieces. And so, that's just part of it. But the day is gorgeous. Today is absolutely gorgeous. I love this cooler weather. I love the little breeze. I love the way it is. But folks, I know that when things bad happen to you, oftentimes we fall short. Is that not correct? I know that happens. That happens a lot. My wife saw a t-shirt yesterday or this week. And it was talking about Razorbacks. And on the t-shirt it said this, almost always the Razorbacks almost win. That's not funny. See? Yeah. Extremely true. Extremely true. But I want you to know that sometimes we fall short. And so the fact of, because I have sinned, doesn't mean that I need to be rebaptized. I made this comment about a week or so ago that I said, if I had to be rebaptized every time I sinned, I'd be baptized every day. Every day. Realize what baptism is for. Baptism is to cleanse us from our sins. It doesn't keep us from sinning. Because even though we have been baptized, we still will fall short. Even though we have problems, or even though we are Christian people, that doesn't mean that we're not going to sin. Paul even talks about that. How he wished that he could do what he would do. But instead, he says, I do what I would not, and what I would do, I do not. He's saying, I fall short. And this is an apostle who saw heaven, who knew what heaven was about, and realized what was waiting for him. And still, we fall short. Same thing with Jesus in the garden. When his three most trusted apostles, Peter, James, and John, were praying with him, they did what? They fell asleep. And Jesus makes this statement, which is absolutely true. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Folks, the flesh is weak. Okay? That's why we are baptized, because the flesh is weak. And we know that only through the Spirit of God, the Spirit that comes to us when we are baptized, only through that, do we obtain salvation. So let's talk a little bit about this. And the question that comes up all the time, and it comes up a lot, folks, don't feel bad if you've asked this question, because it's not a bad question to ask. But the question is, do I need to be rebaptized? Do I need to be rebaptized? Okay? And I'm going to clarify that just a little bit. Because there's a difference in being rebaptized and being baptized. There's a difference. Because oftentimes when people say, do I need to be rebaptized, the response that I have for them is, well, you were never baptized in the first place. Let's talk about that a little bit too today. Okay? So let's start with this. There is but one baptism. One. There's not many. There is only one baptism. There is only one baptism. And notice what it says there in Ephesians chapter 4. There is one hope. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. There is one God. There is not many. There is only one. And so we need to keep that in mind when we talk about baptism to begin with. Because if you've been baptized for some other reason than what the Scripture tells us, then you have not been baptized. Now, I know that's hard for some of you to understand. But you have not. Why? Because there's but one baptism. There's not many. There's one. And it's what's in the Scripture, it's what the Scripture says that tells us what baptism is all about. Okay? Keep that in mind. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, I'm going to tell you what the one baptism is. It is this. You are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for what? Forgiveness of sins. That's why we are baptized. We are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you read Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, you are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the remission or forgiveness of sin. That is why we are baptized. We are not baptized into a denomination. We are not baptized into another group. We are baptized for the purpose of our sins being forgiven. That's why we are baptized. And folks, I want you to know this as well. Jesus says in John chapter 3, He tells us that unless we are baptized, unless we are born of the water and of the Spirit, we shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because your sins have not been forgiven. That's why. Your sins have not been forgiven. You have not been baptized for the forgiveness of sin. And therefore your sins have not been forgiven. You still have them. Which means this, that God still remembers your sins. Your sins are still written in that book. Those books with an S. Not the book of life. Those books with an S. And so I have a lot of people that come to me and they say to me, they say, I don't know why I was baptized. And I go, well, then you need to be baptized. If you don't know why you were baptized, you need to be baptized. I'm just going to tell you that. Because it's extremely important to be baptized for the right reason, because there is but one baptism. And if you have been baptized for the right reason, and if Jesus Christ lives in you and the Holy Spirit lives in you, I want you to understand this, that God remembers your sins no more. You are cleansed of every sin you've ever done and ever will do. You have been cleansed of that. And the reason why you've been cleansed of that, and understand this, is because God cannot be with sin. He cannot. If you have one spot, one blemish on you, if you've never sinned at all in your entire life, and you told one little lie, that one little lie will keep you out of heaven. If you have been forgiven of that lie, then God does not remember that. God only sees the purity of Jesus Christ living in you. Okay? And therefore, all my sins have been washed away. We have been cleansed from every sin, every stain, every blemish. It does not exist in us. And that is why, folks, and I want you to understand this, that is why when I baptize somebody, or when somebody else baptizes somebody, they need to be very specific about the reason that we are being baptized. We are being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, or the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, for the forgiveness of sin. That's why we are baptized. Like I said, it's not to join somewhere else. It's not to join a denomination. It's not to do this or do that. It is for the forgiveness of sins. That is the one baptism. And like Jesus said, unless you are born again, John chapter 3, and being born again means to be buried with Jesus in baptism and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. The requirements for baptism are very specific. There are only two. There are only two. One of the things that I ran into problems with back when I was younger is that people would say, well, they don't know enough yet. Well, how much is enough? How much is enough? Well, folks, you don't have to know the Bible back and forth in order to be baptized. I do not know the Bible back and forth. I realize that I know a lot about some things, but there are other things that I know virtually nothing about. I realize that. And the more I learn, the more I realize that I need to learn. That's why I like doing it. But realize, you don't have to be a Bible scholar in order to be baptized. What do you have to do? First thing you have to do is believe. What do you have to believe in? You have to believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of the living God. You have to believe that. Okay? Now, belief is deeper, because belief is not only believing in Jesus Christ, but believing in God the Father, that God is the creator of all things, that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, and that the Bible is indeed the Word of God. These are the things that we must believe in order to be baptized. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Word of God. These are things we must believe. Secondly, you must repent. Now, if there's a problem, it's usually in the second one, not the first one. Because I can tell you that children that are very, very young will believe. But they don't understand the concept of sin, nor do they understand the concept of repentance. So if there is a problem, that would be it. But I want you to understand something, that children come to that understanding at different ages. I have baptized people as young as 8 years old and as old as 97. People come to it at different ages. There's not a line that you say, okay, once you pass that line, then okay. No. They come to it at different ages. My son was baptized at 9. He was baptized at 9 years old. There's no doubt in my mind that he knew exactly what he was doing, and the reason why I know that is because I pounded it into his head from the time that he was born. Okay? There's no doubt. And there's my son right there, sitting right there. He's visiting with us today. He's the great big one sitting up front. Okay? All right? Now realize that there's no doubt in my mind that he knew. Sometimes if they don't know, then a little teaching will get them there. Okay? But realize that there is not a magical number that they have to be a certain age in order to be baptized. And I quit back years ago saying that someone cannot be baptized because they're too young. Folks, I want you to know, and those of you who have done some baptizing, I want you to know this, that's probably the wrong thing to say. And the reason why is because no matter what age it is, if they come to that understanding, they're ready to go. Doesn't matter. But realize also that if they're not yet at that understanding, give them a little while, give them a little teaching, bring them to that point, and they will understand. It's easy to understand, especially if they have brothers and sisters. Because all you have to do is you say, have you ever gotten mad at your brother and sister? That's a yes. Okay? They understand the concept of sin then. Okay? All right. Now, I want you to see this. If you sin, there is no need to be rebaptized. Because all of us sin. But there's always a way back. Remember the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son. What did he do? He went to his father. He told his father, says, give me my inheritance. The father gave in, gave him his inheritance. He went off into the world. He squandered his inheritance. He ran out of money. There was a great famine in the land. And he was eating after the pigs. He was fighting with the pigs for the cobs of the corn. And then it says the greatest line in that story is what? When he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, he understood that even the servants of his father have more than he does. So he said, I will go back and I will ask to be placed as a servant for my father. And what happens? He goes back. What does his father do? Opens his arms, welcomes him in, puts rings on his fingers, kills the fatted calf, has a great celebration. For his son who was dead is now back alive. Folks, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If you don't have this highlighted in your Bibles, you need to highlight it in your Bibles. Because what it does, it tells us that if indeed you find yourself falling away, if indeed you find yourself in sin, there's a way back. There's a way back. But realize it's when you come to your senses that that happens. When you come to your senses, there's a way back. And so what it tells us there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it tells us this very plainly. If we confess our sins. Now, what does that mean? Confessing your sins doesn't necessarily mean that you come down front here. Although, I will tell you this, that if you sinned against the church and brought reproach upon the church, you need to come and ask for forgiveness from the congregation. But on the same regard, that doesn't mean that every sin brings that about. Sometimes your sins are just between you and God. And so what do you need to do? You need to confess your sin to God and ask for forgiveness. When you come to your senses, ask for forgiveness. And what is God going to do? Just as the prodigal son's father, he's going to welcome you. He's going to kill the fatted calf. He's going to put rings on your fingers. And he's going to bring you back into the fold. 1 John chapter 1 talks about walking in the light as he is in the light. And that God cannot be with darkness. And so he's telling us there in 1 John, he's saying that if you've fallen into darkness, you can come back to the light. So folks, if you've sinned, if you've fallen into darkness, if you're doing things that you know that you shouldn't be doing, then what do you need to do? You need to ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive. Because you have been born of the water and of the Spirit. God will forgive and bring you back home. Notice this. There is no need for baptism if you say, I was too young. Well, if you understood everything that you were doing, you weren't too young. But there are individuals, and I will tell you this, there are individuals that get caught up in everything that's going on, and they say, you know, my friends are getting baptized, therefore I should get baptized too. And I want you to know, I did that. I did that. And when I was 19, I was baptized. Because the first time I didn't understand what I was doing. I did it because one of my best friends had done it. That happens. A lot of times if you go to church camp, and at church camp a whole bunch of people get baptized. That's great. That's wonderful. That's absolutely stupendous. Yeah. But I want you to know something too. That you can get caught up in the crowd, you can get caught up in the group, and you can be baptized for reasons that you're not ready for. Now that doesn't mean that the person that baptized you didn't baptize you for the right reason. What that means is you yourself weren't right yet. And therefore you yourself need to get right before being baptized. That happens a lot. So be aware of that. Be aware of that situation. Just because you were of a certain age and you say, well, I was too young back then. No, that doesn't work that way. If you knew what you were doing, you're fine. If you didn't know what you were doing or you were doing it for some other reason, then you need to think about it. Okay? Here's the questions you should ask yourself. When I was baptized, did I believe and did I repent? Those are the two requirements. Did I believe God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Word? And did I repent of my sins? Did I turn away from those sins? Did I get to the point that I will not do those sins anymore? I will strive in my life not to do them again. Did I ever get to that point? Did I repent of them? Did I confess? I have sins. God, I have sins. I need them cleansed from me. Did I do that? That's repentance. So therefore, the question is, did I believe? Did I repent? That's the first question you ask yourself. When I was baptized, did I do that? Second question is this. For what purpose was I baptized? Now this is a problem. Because if you look out in the world today, there are a lot of people that baptize for reasons other than forgiveness of sin. There's a lot. An enormous amount. And most of the time, the reason why they're baptizing is they're baptizing you to be in the congregation, into that church. And I've seen it to where it's this bad, that if you move from Poto, Oklahoma to Little Rock, Arkansas, and they make you get baptized again in Little Rock. Because now you're baptized into that church. Well, folks, that's not what baptism is. That's not it. It's for the remission of sin. And therefore, what you must do is you must ask yourself, for what purpose was I baptized? And I can tell you right now that if you were baptized within the churches of Christ, by any preacher of the Church of Christ, by anyone within the Church of Christ, you were baptized for the right reason. Because we always baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Always. So you were baptized for the right reason. So you don't have to worry about that. But if you were baptized into a denomination, then the question is, why was I baptized? And I even had a person one time that came to me and said, I don't know the reason why I was baptized. And I told them, I said, well, where were you baptized? And they told me, and I said, why don't you go ask that preacher what reason you were baptized? And she actually did. And the response was from that preacher that baptized her, the preacher said, well, you were baptized into the church. What church? This church. No. That's not why you're baptized. Remission of sin is why we are baptized. So you have to be really careful about this because there are so many different thoughts, theories, whatever it may be, out there about baptism, that you may have been baptized for something other than for the remission of sin. You need to make sure you know. Because don't forget, there's one baptism that counts. Only one. Okay? Notice this one. Am I sure? This is a question you must ask yourself. Am I sure about my salvation? I've told you this before. How can I go out and teach others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ when I myself am not sure that I am saved? Have you ever thought about that before? Am I sure that I'm going to go to heaven? If I get killed out here on this highway, going home today, is there a place for me in heaven? Do I know that? Am I sure of that? The answer is, for me personally, is yes, I am sure. I have done what Jesus commanded me to do. I have been born of the water and of the Spirit. I have been baptized in the likeness of His death, and I've been raised in the likeness of His resurrection. I have been forgiven of the sins that I have committed, and I am still being forgiven of the sins that I commit today. Folks, realize, are you sure? And if you're not sure, how can you do what Jesus told us to do, as to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? That he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. How can you do that if you yourself are not sure about your salvation? There's no way. So I tell people this quite often, because people will say to me, I'm not sure that I am going to go to heaven if I died today. And I even asked a congregation that one time, said, raise your hand. If you died today, you'd go to heaven. And you know what? You'd be shocked at how many people did not raise their hand. I never asked that question again. I never asked anybody to raise their hand again because I didn't want to embarrass them. But you'd be shocked to know, and this was a congregation of Church of Christ people, that they didn't know that they were going to go to heaven. You need to know. Because how can you have hope? How can you know the love of God that has been bestowed upon you if you yourself don't realize that you're going to go to heaven? How can you do that? Well, folks, one of the main reasons that I want you to look at this is this question right here. Are you sure you're going to heaven? And if you are sure that you're going to heaven, then go out there and shout it from the rooftops. I have found salvation. I know my Savior lives. I have been baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. I have done what I have been commanded to do, and therefore I have a place with Him in heaven. Folks, that's what we need to make sure that you know. I know it. And look what John said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. He said, "By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment." There's going to be two people when Jesus returns to this earth. Two types of people. When Jesus returns to this earth to take us back to be with Him, there's going to be that one group of people that are going to run to Him with their arms up and say, "Here I am, Lord." And then there's going to be another group of people that are going to run into the caves and ask the rocks to fall on them to hide them from the wrath of God. Only two types of people. Two types. And realize that you want to be that one that have your hands up in the air and you're running to Jesus. Because you know, you have confidence that you will be with God in heaven. Folks, that confidence is part of faith. That confidence is part of what Jesus did for us. Folks, that confidence is the love that God has for us. That He wants us to be with Him in eternity. So I tell you this, as you contemplate what I have told you today, by this we know that we remain in Him and He in us, because He has given to us His Holy Spirit. How do you receive that Spirit? Through baptism. Because if we are born of that water and of that Spirit, if we are baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, then we receive that gift. And what a gift it is. How can you walk through this day in this day and time without knowing that you have that hope of somewhere better, without knowing that you have the hope of an eternity with God, without knowing that your sins have been forgiven, that you have been washed, cleansed of all sins, of all transgressions, and you have a place with God in heaven? How can we walk this earth without it? Folks, you cannot. You cannot. But with it, we receive that gift of love, peace, joy, long-suffering. We receive that gift. Why? Because it has been given to each of us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you have a question today about your salvation, let's get rid of that question. If you have an issue about your baptism and you'd like to talk to somebody about it, folks, I'm here. I'd love to talk to you. But don't think ever, just because you have sinned, that you need to be rebaptized. It's not the case. Ask for forgiveness and you'll be rejoined with God. Come to your senses and you'll be there. But if you have doubts about your salvation, we need to remove any doubt. So folks, if you have those issues, if you have them today, today's the opportunity to come while together we stand and sing. Thank you. Secret, so don't tell anybody. Okay? Today at 2 o'clock this afternoon, we are going to have a little get together for Roy and Judy. I told you to keep it secret. They did not know until I just announced it. Okay?
Thank you all.
Yeah. 2 o'clock today. 2 o'clock today in our gymnasium. Come and be a part of that. We are celebrating their lives together. 40 years? 40 years. All right. Great. Yeah. 40 years. Judy, I don't know how you did it. Yeah. Patience. Patience. Yeah. 2 o'clock today. So be a part of that. If you can, come and be a part of that. And like I said, they didn't know anything about it until I just said that today. So kind of keep it from them until 2 o'clock, okay? Don't let them know. I hope this lesson helps you a little bit. Because, again, like I said, I've been getting a lot of questions. I've been getting a lot of people asking about it because we have been so blessed over the last 3-something years that Kathy and I have been here. We have actually had a tremendous blessing. We have been blessed by you. We've had 157 baptisms over those 3 years. And the best part about that is, it's not because of me, it's not because of Kathy, it is because of each one of you doing what God has commanded you to do. And that is go and teach the gospel. And when you go out into the world and you invite people to come, then it falls upon the rest of us to bring them to where they should be. And it is so great that we have such a wonderful congregation that we do here today. And as I look around the room, I see so many of our number that have been baptized within that time frame. And the reason why they're here today is because somebody invited them to come. Folks, be like the woman at the well. Go out and invite. And just say to him what she said, I think I have found the Messiah. Come and see. Yes, we have found Jesus Christ. Come and see. Come and see. Thank you all for all the work that you do. Thank you for the love that you show to other people. Thank you for bringing them home to a place where they have an eternity with God. Thank you so much for all those things. And thank you for the love that you have for Jesus.